Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no lanes on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. Amen, no lanes on the track.
And now it's the Mike and JD show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Now that I'm out of the bathroom, I feel fantastic.
Yeah, I wasn't going to lead with that, but I did tell everybody in the chat that you were, in fact, delaying the show because you were unleashing hell in the porcelain home.
Dude, I'm sorry. Sometimes a man got to poop, and when you have celiac disease, you have to take your poop seriously. It was fine. I didn't have a celiac disease poop, but I just had to poop. Try not to say shit because, you know, we're early into the show and that hurts the algorithm, but I just said it. So, you know, oh, well.
Well, yeah, I don't know that it hurts the algorithm so much, but it definitely hurts our ad revenue. So like, if you notice, there's a lot of podcasts out there like that. If you listen to their audio, it's full of cussing, but when you go to some of their YouTube clips, they will actually like bleep out the cuss words. Like I think Jim Cornette does that. They bleep out the customers so that way they can get more ad revenue from it.
Yeah, okay. For Jim Cornette, that's a lot of work there.
Yeah. I'm sure that they stay away from certain parts of his show and just like try to do, you know, specific clips where he doesn't cuss as much. But man, I am excited for this show. I don't think I've ever been more excited for a podcast. I could run through a freaking wall right now. I don't know how I did it. But I landed Sean Merriman. I landed a Sean Merriman interview. I actually recorded the interview earlier today. I'm going to play it here tonight for everybody. I'm super excited about this.
I don't know how you, I mean, never tell anybody that arguing with people on the internet won't get you anywhere, because that's exactly how you landed this one.
Well, you know, it started off like it might have been an argument, but he was super nice and I was nice to him. And like, I think we came to like a resolution in our conversation. At the end of it, I was like, well, I might as well just throw it out there. I said, hey man, you know, if you want to plug your lights out TV, you know, I'd love to have you on my wrestling podcast. And sure enough, he tagged this PR guy. And the next thing you know, me and him are DMing the next morning, and we had set it all up, man. So it's pretty surreal that we were able to do that.
It's awesome, man. Like to get a guy like Sean Merriman on this show, like an NFL, former NFL player, like that's a massive get for us. I'm bummed I couldn't get him live, but you know, I'm glad that you were able to knock it out.
Yeah. My original idea was, well, I wanted to get him live and then hopefully like the folks in the chat could like jump in and maybe ask questions and stuff. But the time we record is a little bit late for him. So he wasn't able to do that, but I got him early in the afternoon. And so what I can do is I can actually just like, I have it pulled up and I'm going to play it after JD and I get through all the news. I'm going to play it here to kind of send everybody home. But he's like an early riser, but it was really cool. And look, JD, Sean Merriman isn't just a former NFL player. Like he was legit a major NFL star, and his injuries cut his career short. Honestly, if he didn't get hurt, he was probably headed to the Hall of Fame with the way he was going.
Yeah, he's one of the best linebackers in the game for a while there. And it's kind of cool that I didn't know he was even a wrestling fan because I don't follow him on Twitter. Like, I can't wait to hear what you guys actually talked about, to be honest, because I have no idea. It's going to be news to me, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we plugged his outside ventures, but we talked wrestling, we talked WWE, TNA, and lots of MMA stuff. It was pretty cool, man.
Man, I made some tea before the show. I just tried to take a sip and I burnt the poop out of my tongue. So I think I'm on the shelf for the rest of the show. Oh man, it's gonna be a rough one. Ow.
Well, this is the first injury ever occurring live on a podcast, but man, yeah, so we're going to get to the Sean Merriman interview. I know a lot of people are here to watch that, but guys, this is not my first day on the job. You're going to have to wait for that one a little bit. we're going to tease that one. We're going to give that to you for the main event. We're going to start off with the Vince and WWE trial. So, and I think that is the most important story. This is actually really big, and I don't think people are understanding just how big this is. So Janelle Grant and her attorneys, they have delayed the WWE and Vince McMahon lawsuit at the request of the federal government, at the request of the Department of Justice. Okay, so here, this is from the Observer site. Said she has agreed to pause her lawsuit against Vince McMahon, WWE, and John Laurinaitis. According to comments from Ann Callis, the attorney representing Grant, her client has agreed to a request by the U.S. Attorney's Office to stay her litigation. Stay means pause, pending a non-public investigation into the matter. Here's the quote. Ms. Grant has consented to a request by the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York to stay her case against Mr. McMahon, WWE, and Mr. Laurinaitis pursuant to a pending non-public investigation. Ann Callis, an attorney for Grant, said in an emailed statement to Bloomberg on Thursday, we will cooperate with all appropriate next steps. And so Dave Meltzer says, basically, the Grant lawsuit is pausing at the request of the Justice Department as the government is conducting its own investigation. So this goes back to when the feds showed up at McMahon's house and his office and raided and took everything and took his phones and all that stuff. Like this is huge, man. This just got a lot bigger.
The Southern District of New York. Who else? They've been in the news lately.
These are U.S. attorneys, so it's different departments. Mm-hmm. So the people that got Trump, former WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump, on 34 counts of falsifying, you know, official records or whatever it's called. That was the actual state. That's the state of New York. So this is the feds, the U.S. attorney, mm-hmm. but in the Southern District of New York. So yeah, they're close proximity, but they actually work. They have different bosses.
Interesting. So, these guys don't prosecute it. They think they're going to lose, you know, yeah. As was reported by Andrew Zarian. So it's funny to me how the LaGentle machine has been in full effect this week. We had numerous people tweeting, do you know how well NXT did against the playoffs this week? It's really, really quite amazing. Like, do you see how great WWE is doing? It's almost like they knew something was coming this week. Mm-hmm. And the amount of mutual friend of ours, we got a text message from a mutual friend of ours who may or may not be, I won't give him away.
No.
Yeah. It's like, I can't believe you guys haven't been blocked by Raj Giri yet. And I kind of had to laugh about that because he's a tool of the LaGentle media. And he's just a tool in general. So I always find it, like, Vince is probably going to go to prison, but he's in his 80s. So, like, I mean, honestly, what does it matter? Like, it's good. It's good. But at the same time, it's like I almost feel like it's too little too late. You know, yeah. I truly believe that. Like, this probably should have happened 30 years ago, but whatever. What makes me laugh about all this is the way the puppets in the media just dance for Nick Khan and Chris LaGentle, and it's like it never ceases to entertain me and how just completely oblivious they act to all of it.
Yeah, they're willing to just copy and paste, and you know what, I gotta give credit to, like, I think Dave Meltzer was not touching that subject for a while, but he is absolutely coming after all these clowns, specifically Raj Giri, for copy and pasting these LaGentle emails that he's getting, even if it doesn't come from LaGentle directly. Like, they're getting the information. It's incomplete information. It's absolutely PR spin, and they're trying to get ahead of all these stories to get themselves on the front page, to get the positive news on the headlines, to push down mm-hmm. the WWE event story. And that's why we're opening the show with this. That's why we're opening it instead of the Sean Merriman interview. Like, this is more important, right? Even though the Merriman thing is like one of the great, like, one of the funnest things I've ever done in my life is to talk to that guy. But this is so much more important. And looks like Awesome One in the chat, I just saw this thing pop up. He said, Southern District of New York is no joke. If they go after you, you're getting put behind bars. They got SBF and Bernie Madoff. So the Bernie was that guy that ripped off all those like celebrities mm-hmm. and all those like Kevin Bacon, like a ton of people.
SBF. Why am I not?
SBF. Somebody in the chat, correct me. I think SBF might be a crypto bro. I'm not really sure. Is it? But you notice how I just read that and then I just talked about Bernie Madoff because I knew who that was. I wasn't gonna let everybody know that I didn't know.
Well, I don't know either. I mean, I'm a Midwesterner. Okay. You're a Midwesterner, FTX, by the way.
Yeah, he was the crypto guy. Yeah, he's a crypto dude. Yeah, crypto dude. He scammed a ton of people out of crypto money. Which is, did you see the Tom Brady roast?
I did not see the Tom Brady roast. I know of it, but I did not watch it. We don't have Netflix.
It's so good. They had this comedian on there named Nikki Glaser. And she goes, Tom, you lost $30 million in crypto. And then she looks over at Gronk, and even Gronk was saying, I know that not real money. But the way she did it was just so great. And everybody's just looking at Gronk just dying laughing. He's like, even I know that not real money.
She's hilarious. Like I've seen a bunch of her stuff on YouTube and like whenever I go on Facebook, she's always on my reels. She's really funny. That's great. That's a great joke.
Yeah, that was
So yeah, Vince is fucked, basically. Right? I mean, that's where we're at. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And honestly, like I don't think that this lawsuit gets paused if Ann Callis, who is a very like she's a legit attorney. If she doesn't think that the feds actually absolutely got something on this guy that's actually going to hammer him, like they're not pausing their lawsuit for the feds if they know that that there's not something crazy coming. You know what I mean?
Well, think about what we had the last few weeks, right? The WWE side has been real. And let's not forget, you could sit there and separate. Well, Vince isn't WWE anymore. Yeah, they're in the lawsuit, my man. So, I mean, like, they're putting all this positive stuff out later. They're putting all this negative stuff about Janelle Grant. Like, this was like 2 weeks ago this stuff got leaked. So, I mean, like, they knew this was coming, right? They're trying to stroke the media. They're trying to get their more friendly people, more people willing to play ball than probably are necessary because they're going to get with the real media, right? The real media is going to tell the real story. But we got enough dorks in the wrestling media that will just love their access and want to make sure that their cheese board, like that billionaire, not a billionaire, he's a millionaire, that millionaire dork Raj Geary. I can't wait till he actually blocks us.
JD, we got a super chat from our favorite Triple H hater, Glassdoor Gamer. Says hopefully some Triple H stuff comes out by the DOJ. I think that would just warm your heart, JD.
It's not okay. No, it wouldn't, because that means he did something really, really bad. And I don't want victims. Like, I don't want to. I'm not the kind of guy that goes, yeah, that person got hurt. Like, I'm not that guy. But I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, that's not what I mean. I just mean that, like, because we know that the leadership in WWE is not completely innocent here.
No.
So they had to have been up to something. I'm not saying that I hope that Triple H has a victim, but there's a likelihood that maybe not even just him, but there's got to be more people in that company that had some shady stuff going on during the time.
For sure. Now, don't get me wrong. Is he guilty of, at worst turning a blind eye to what this guy's doing? Yeah, I mean, he's been there for... Well, I did that like LA Knight. I didn't even mean to. I mean, like, he's been there damn near 30 years himself, and he knows everything that goes on in that company, right? And has for years. So, I mean, like, going back to, like, Ashley Massaro and stuff like that, this dude knew and let things happen because he liked his job and didn't give a crap. So I think he's a scumbag, but I think there's, like, levels of scumbaggery, right? Like, yeah. Triple H scumbag, but Vince is, like, overlord scumbag.
Yeah,
like
Vince is Weinstein. Like, he's like top of the line scumbag. But here you go. But we got to be careful, JD, because this guy Corey Brennan of Fightful has said it's incredibly important to ask Triple H about the lawsuit. But it's important to remember that Triple H at this time has not been named as someone who knew in any legal documents. Focus on facts and evidence at hand, and don't speculate on something so sensitive. So, JD, listen to Corey here. We got to protect Triple H at all costs. Okay.
Because he loves his NXT. This Fightful turd right? This little Irish turd who you just can't flush down the toilet will lay down and fall upon any sword necessary to protect his beloved WWE. This way, this kid is happy. He's perfectly working with Jimmy Van, right? Because again, Jimmy Van, thank you, Vince. Thank you, Vince, for all the crap that you've pulled on people over the years. Thank you for covering up Jimmy Snuka's murder. We appreciate that. Like, this dude is just in such a perfect out for himself. And the fact that he gets some NXT scoops, ooh, it's like talking to high school kids. Like, I can't
JD,
understand this.
Those are not actually scoops that he's getting from NXT. That's,
I know,
like NXT, like PR people, like just pushing random stuff to him to get the other stuff off the front page.
Look, man, and we've had decent back and forth with the leader over at Fightful, so I'm not going to bury the guy. But I mean, like, they love their tweets. They love engagement. Yeah. They run off. I mean, like, hey, we got a $5 super chat and we're going crazy for it. They get tons of super chats. The problem is they don't have people willing to ask hard questions over there. They don't have people willing to be dickheads. They have guys like this dude who, you know, you remember Tiananmen Square?
Yes. Yes.
Remember that guy who stood in front of it?
Was it the dude that set himself on fire? No. Yeah. Or he was just in front of a battle tank.
Battle tank. Think of the dude from Vietnam, the monk, the Rage Against the Machine cover. No, think about the dude who stood in front of the tank at Tiananmen Square. And that's this guy, right? Yeah. There's tons of people willing to really ask questions and push the agenda and really make sure that this company and its leader for 50 years get what there's coming to them. But not, man, he's going to stand in front and make sure beloved NXT is safe and sound. I can't stand this guy. Cannot stand him.
Yeah, and King of the North knew that, and he sent it to me and said, I think this is worthy of bad tweets. And he goes, JD's probably going to go crazy on this one. So
The king himself has been on fire this week on Twitter. He has been quite entertaining. So
I disagree. He's been hazing me, and I don't really think that he should get any kudos for that. So
I disagree.
we're going to get into the AEW stuff. He actually made sure to add a topic onto the agenda that he wanted covered. So,
the king actually has a good tweet up. The king actually has a good comment. He knows Shawn Michaels put drugs in drinks. Yeah, Shawn Michaels did do that. Shawn Michaels was a scumbag for the 1990s.
All right, let's go. Speaking of Shawn Michaels, let's go to the next topic. Jordynne Grace showed up on NXT on Tuesday night. She's actually going to be challenging for the NXT Women's Championship against, she used to be called Roxy, but she's now Roxanne Perez at the upcoming Battleground show, I think in a couple weeks in Las Vegas. She's going to be headlining the show. And it looks like this isn't the only crossover that's going to happen, as there are rumors out there that that there should be some NXT stars showing up at Cicero Stadium coming up at Against All Odds in Chicago. None of that's been confirmed, but there's rumors flying. I guess Jordynne Grace has an open challenge to anybody to come to challenge for the title. Look, guys, she needs something because she ain't got no opponents in TNA right now. You guys want to talk about TNA having the best women's division? There is no women's division. Jordynne Grace has beat them all, and they all left, the other ones.
Yeah, I haven't watched the show in over a year, Mike. What is the women's division in TNA? What are the knockouts? Knock me out. Who's it?
Yeah, okay. So right now, like, the top two, and they're very top tier talents. Jordynne Grace, obviously, and I think that Jordynne Grace could be a top women's performer in any company right now. I think she's that
for
good.
Sure.
Masha Slamovich, I think, is also very good. She's right there. And then after that, there's a big drop off. You know, you got Rosemary and Havoc, you got Zaya Brookside, SDL. Tasha Steeles. I like Tasha Steeles, to be honest with you, but she just never really kind of broke through to that upper echelon. You know, she's like good, but she never really broke through. And Danny Luna and Jody Threat, and that's really about it. Like, they have some indie stars coming in and out every once in a while, but they ain't got nothing. So I think this is a great thing for Jordynne Grace. You know, this is a great, going to build her brand, and she's very clearly going to be ending up in WWE before it's all said and done. Like, I think they're just kicking the tires on her right now. You know, they saw her, how she was at the Royal Rumble and how she's been since then. And when they saw her in the Royal Rumble, she was in there mixing up with Bianca and all the rest of their top stars. Like, she's as good or better than all of them. You know what I mean? Like, she can hang with any of them over there.
So my question is what does And again, we had a guy in our mentions this week who said there was no history of WWE working with other companies. And I listed six that came off the top of my head over 40 years. Like, well, that's different. That was before Triple H. And I'm like, yeah. I don't have the time or energy for this today.
Right.
So they didn't even tag TNA in their tweet, which was just freaking awesome to me. Does Jordan get the, this isn't title for title. This is just Jordan challenging Rock. I almost called her Roxy again. Roxy, right?
Yeah. If it was title for title, then I would think that there's a possibility that Jordan wins because NXT just wants more dates on her. But this is just Jordan challenging for the title. So I think that tells you who's going to win. It's very likely to be Roxanne Perez.
I mean, like, so I'm super curious what happens when it happens because I want to hear the TNA fans, of which we know many, have the same energy they have for Kenny Omega when he won. So I just, and again, this is what's great to me is they're sitting here like the whole argument is, oh, WWE is going to give NXT much more, or WWE's TNA much more showcase, blah, blah, blah. So what you're going to do is you're going to bring in your top talent, right? They're going to bring in TNA's top talent and have her lose to someone in developmental. Okay.
Yep.
I mean, that's cool. Yep. If that's what they want, that's totally cool. I get it. But I mean, like, WWE is going to make sure that WWE is on top, which is again what any company should do. It's what AEW does most of the time when they're working with other companies. Hey, Mystico, one of the biggest stars in the world. He did not win the gauntlet last night. Did not win that gauntlet last night. So I just want to make sure everyone has that same energy when Jordan lies down for Roxy. And if I'm wrong, I'll come on here and take the L. I don't think I will be.
Yeah, I think it's very clearly Perez is going to win. Now, look, crazier things have happened. I just don't think that they're going to bring in an outsider to have them win their championship. Jordynne Grace is signed until 2026. So, and TNA is not letting her go. They're not just going to let her out of her deal unless WWE paid like a significant amount of money to buy out that contract, then maybe they would, but I don't think WWE is going to do that. So it wouldn't make any sense for Jordynne Grace to do that. Does it hurt TNA to have Jordynne Grace lose? Of course not. It doesn't. No. It doesn't mean a freaking thing. It broadens Jordynne Grace's brand, right? And she's going to get more followers and she's going to get all that stuff. It's going to help her out in the long run. I think she's going to get a little more famous from this thing. That's going to be about it, but it's going to create brand awareness for Jordynne Grace specifically. I don't think it's going to add a ton of viewers to TNA, and I don't think it's going to sell a ton of tickets to TNA. Unless they're able to get some of those NXT stars, but those NXT stars are not bigger stars than the people that TNA has. Like, you know, look, I love Trick Williams. I think Trick Williams is great. Like I actually watched NXT this week. I thought it was terrible, but I like Trick Williams. I think he's awesome. You put him on the marquee without that WWE name, and he's not selling more tickets than like, you know, Moose and Joe Hendry. Like he's just not. He's on a show that gets more viewers, but it's just people just watch it because it's WWE. So he's not exactly a draw yet. So, but I here and I know we're gonna get to the negatives, and I think there's some. Here's the positives, right? Here's the positives. Create brand awareness for Jordynne Grace and TNA as a whole. Just create brand awareness. Create a little bit of buzz. And NXT, if you're sending NXT talent, which it looks like NXT is gonna send talent to TNA. They get to work in front of different crowds with veteran talent that have been around a long time that could actually help them. Like, can anybody tell me that if you sent Trick Williams over to TNA, which I don't think they're going to do, but let's just say hypothetically, you sent Trick Williams to TNA and he works a 20-minute match with Eddie Edwards, is he going to be a better for it? I think so. You know what I mean? So I think that would be good for them. But we all know how this ends. It ends just the way it always ends with WWE and their partnerships. And the smaller company never comes out looking good.
Mm-hmm. Here's where I'm at this. I don't think it grows her brand much. Does she get a few more followers on Twitter? Sure. But at the same time, like how often is she on the show? That's what it comes down to. If this is a one-off, if she's coming in to do this PLE match and then she's out, it doesn't matter. I mean, like,
it was a
lesser spotlight than when she did the Rumble earlier this year.
Yeah.
And what it was, I mean, like,
at worst, it's just a fun thing for Battleground, like a fun hook for Battleground, which is good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. But I mean, I think brand awareness is one of the most overstated and mythical concepts that we have. Like in advertising, it takes like, I believe we learned this in class. It takes like 30 times of hearing something before you start recognizing a brand. Right. And you need to have it constantly, which is why NXT does a great job, because they have their little stars on their little show and they have people. And so it gets you familiar with their character before they move to the main roster. That was a big problem before with the old NXT, is they would have different characters. So like the work you were doing here doesn't work. So you were not creating brand awareness. Brand awareness comes from repetition. You're not creating repetition with this unless she's on the show every week for months upon months. Then you're growing your brand. I mean, like it's like being a guest star on a TV show. Like, oh, that's so-and-so, and then they're done, right? Like, I don't think this hurts TNA.
No.
Right? But again, as always, WWE comes out much, much better. Like if say Trick Williams does a match with Eddie Edwards, I like your hypothetical there. Trick's gonna get better in the ring with Eddie Edwards, who's one of the most underrated workers in the world. TNA gonna get more viewers to watch
Access? Not significantly more, but I would say they would. Yeah, if they were able to announce that, like, you know, upcoming at Slammiversary, let's just say Slammiversary, right? Yep. Which is as of right now, it's tracking to be their biggest live event in a decade. They have broken their on sale record. PCO is at the helm. I think Joe LeDuc's family is going to be there. Like they're going all out in Montreal. They're probably going to put Speedball Bailey in the main event, and they're going to get a really big match for Speedball. So let's just say hypothetically they got like 2,500 people. I don't want to say 3,000, because if they get to 3,000, I got to buy a Big Con T-shirt and wear it on the Slammiversary post show, and I don't really want to do that. But let's just say they get 2,500. You know, could adding Trick Williams get them a few more pay-per-view buys if that show is promoted on NXT? It won't be. It wouldn't be. But let's just say that it was. I think it would. It would actually, because of how little pay-per-view buys is probably going to get, I would say the increase would be significant to TNA. But what I'm thinking, we're not going to get there. That's the thing, is I think people are like thinking that this crossover is going to be a long-term thing. Right now, we're booked. Jordynne Grace is going to wrestle next week on NXT. She's going to beat a jobber. I don't know the jobber's name, but she's going to beat a jobber. They're going to build her up just the same way they did Charlie Dempsey when they sent Charlie Dempsey to All Japan to fight Katsuhiko Nakajima. They gave him a victory, and then immediately he lost. I think that's where we're going here. Jordynne Grace gets the victory. They're going to send somebody over to TNA at Against All Odds in a surprise match. Who knows who it's going to be? And then at the end of it, I think this is it. But if they did do like a back and forth for a little bit, you know, and everybody was on playing ball and everybody was nice and WWE's promoting the shows, like they, you know, like we kind of wanted other companies, that would be great, but I just don't think it's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't either. I also think you're being very optimistic with thinking it would translate to more buys for TNA, because here's the only reason I say this is because the WWE audience is not in the habit of buying pay-per-views. Don't buy shows anymore. It's part of your Peacock subscription. So to ask them to spend extra money is something that they just don't do. And again, we talked about this 3 years ago that I thought AEW did a really poor job not advertising Kenny Omega's TNA title offenses. I thought that was really stupid of them at the time, and it didn't help their partnership at all. I agree with that, but AEW fans are used to buying pay-per-views. WWE fans are not. So this is why I have a hard time seeing NXT specific fans being willing to buy a match. You know, I don't think that happens.
There's just so many of them worldwide. You don't think that like 5,000 of the multiples of millions of people that watch that show worldwide would be willing to spend money on it? I think it would. And 5,000 pay-per-view buys for a TNA, that is a significant increase for how little they do. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think millions upon millions of people watch NXT. I think that's a myth.
I think worldwide. I think so. I think so. Worldwide.
When they were on their own network, NXT was one of the highest rated shows on it when they were on their own network. I don't think that's true. I don't think it's grown exponentially since moving to Peacock. I just don't.
Well, they're not on Peacock. They're on USA, and then, you know, they're getting 700,000 and like
their PLEs are
all those different places that WWE's on. I would say they got, you know, a few million like worldwide easily.
For, I mean, India, you're talking about people watching in India where they don't buy things anyway.
India,
you
know what I'm saying? Like, India is definitely a country, but they also have several other countries like that have it. I would say that some of them might be willing to pay $40 for a pay-per-view.
I disagree with that, especially when you're not asked your fan base to do that ever. I don't foresee WWE fans who for a decade now have been conditioned not to buy pay-per-views to buy a pay-per-view for a different company to see one performer, maybe two at most. I think that's very optimistic thinking on your part. If it added I don't think that's realistic.
I think it's pretty realistic that some of them would come over and buy it. They really like to support the WWE. In fact, look, NXT, the ticket prices in Vegas are insane. Like NXT, they're only like 600 people there in that Apex, but they're selling like, I think the lowest price ticket is like 250. It's wild, man. They're gonna have a huge gate there.
Man, and man, Evolve, when they got their NXT deal, their shows went through the roof. So many people bought those pay-per-views, and it added so many more seats when the Street Profits were the Evolve tag team champions.
What were the numbers?
Nothing. No one cared. Insignificant. Evolve doesn't exist.
Well, look, I think it's likely that they could, but guess what? We're never gonna know because it's just not gonna happen.
Are not gonna happen, yeah.
I don't think they're sending anybody to Slammiversary. I think it would be cool if they sent AJ to be put in the Hall of Fame. I think that would be
that
cool.
Could happen.
I don't think that's the craziest thing like the craziest scenario. You know what I mean?
No, that could happen. I think that's possible.
They're like all on friendly terms, but are we going to get this big crossover that's going to blow up in a Worlds Collide feud with like Shawn Michaels on one side and Tommy Dreamer on the other side? And like, that's just not happening. That's just not happening. But I think it would be pretty cool if they did do better business, but I just don't see it happening. Now let's go over to AEW Double or Nothing, some of their fallout that they had. Lots of news coming from AEW, man. So their TV deal, it looks like the TV deal is coming sooner rather than later. The exclusive window with WBD is at the end of July. There was a report out, which I think people took the wrong way from Mark Bellamy. They really like read way too much into the disappointment. Look, if somebody makes me an offer and I don't accept it, I guess naturally that's disappointing. Right. Like, so like, yeah, it wasn't what I wanted. Let's keep negotiating. That doesn't mean that Tony Khan was like, oh my, like his heart was broken. But as you could see, the grifters and aggregators went apeshit all over this thing, trying to make it seem like there was like bad blood between the two sides, which was just not the case.
No, I mean, that was clear. People don't know what negotiations are like. Secondly, people missed the whole point of Bellamy's article. Was it wasn't to slam Tony Khan. It was to talk about how incompetent David Zaslav is. The whole thing was about he's going to bungle another. That was the exact quote. Zaslav's going to bungle another media rights deal after they fucked up the NBA. So how you could spin that into, oh my God, Tony Khan screwed up again. Like, you have to be another level of grifter. You have to be you got to go full bit off to do that. I mean, it's unfortunate that that's what happened, but I mean, there's so much money in the grift right now. There's so much money in the AEW doom and gloom. There's so many people that want to carry water for rapists that it's disappointing, but not surprising.
Yeah. I think right now what it's looking like is they're very likely to get a deal done. It's probably going to happen this summer. If it doesn't happen with WBD, it's going to happen elsewhere. But I think there's a lot of pressure on David Zaslav to get this deal done because he blew the NBA deal with NBA going to Comcast. So I think it's that now what they're arguing about right now, or not arguing, but what they're negotiating are just more semantics and fine details, right? Like, are pay-per-views going to be provided? you know, or what are we pushing to max? Is it a co-stream deal? Like those types of things. And I think AEW would be wise to want their show, not maybe co-streamed, but as we saw last night, how did you watch AEW last night? Cause I'll tell you how I watched AEW.
Oh, you watched it differently than I did. I watched on the crappy TBS app.
Yeah, I watched it on Twitter because the AEW on TNT Twitter account like shared the live stream. I don't know if they're just testing something out or what, but I think at this point it would be wise for any type of live sports. You could be on a cable network or a broadcast network, but you need to be co-streamed on some type of streaming service. And I think that would be like the best for everybody. So I'm thinking like some of those details are getting hammered out right now. And I think Andrew Zarian was kind of talking about that on him and Garrett's show earlier this week. So like the deal's coming. They're just trying to figure out all the facts and figures and exactly what's going to be included.
Here's the thing about people get worry. CEOs, when they don't do a good job, get axed all the time. Right. It's not crazy to think that the shareholders who are not going to be happy with losing the NBA, by the way, yeah. It's not crazy to think that if he bungles more of these things, that he could be gone. Because the WBD shareholders have not been thrilled with the moves he's made the past 2 years. So it's entirely possible that he needs to make a deal. It'd be stupid of him to let AEW go. I mean, you could bitch about the ratings all you want, but I mean, it's still one of the best. Like Dave just posted today, like it's still out. AEW Dynamite, which is still down, is still outperforming everything else on cable TV that's not live sports, especially when it comes to like year-to-year drops. They're still ahead of the curve.
It's a major hit on cable.
It is.
It is a huge success. Dynamite specifically, huge success. Mm-hmm. And Collision and Rampage, not as successful clearly, but they're all like they perform pretty well for what they are. AEW Dynamite is an absolute like smashing success and nobody really wants to admit that. And that's why they're going to get the big raise. Concerning behavior regarding Tony Khan, I'll be honest, I heard this early in the day, but it was like early in the day on Sunday, but it was from somebody that doesn't really like report news. So I didn't really put much stock into it. But then I think like Alvarez was talking about it and several other people were talking about it, that Tony Khan, like up until Dynamite was about to go on the air, was like ripping up scripts like he's Vince McMahon in 2019. And you can tell if you go back and watch some of the shows, specifically the Adam Cole segment, when he was basically out there with no idea what he was about to talk about. He was just stalling for time until MJF got out there. It seemed like he was a bit lost. That show was pretty wacky, Double or Nothing. While I still like enjoyed most of it, it was kind of a shit show, to be honest with you. Reminded me of a tweet that I made at Conrad Thompson. Conrad Thompson was saying that Jeff Jarrett should be running AEW. And I said, well, look, there's run-ins every show and business is down. Are you sure he isn't running AEW? To which he did not reply to that, by the way.
So bummed you didn't get a response to that. No, that show, yeah. I mean, like, here's the problem. Here's the problem. I was talking about this with someone we know. The problem with AEW right now is that there's this heavy WWE lean going on in the company. Things started to change over there when Jimmy Jacobs came in, right? Jimmy Jacobs, I made my bone. This show is called the Mike and JD Show, not Brace for Impact, because I had my fill of Jimmy Jacobs, right? The Coven, like Taylor Wilde dealing out the tarot cards during a match broke me. On this show live, I broke. And then almost immediately after he came to AEW. Since that's happened, it seems like the room, there is a writer's room there, is gone very heavy with former WWE people. Now that the Pepperman is over there too, now you've got it even more. So there's not enough non-WWE voices in that room. There's not enough people saying, hey, man, maybe don't do this. It doesn't seem to be that there's people talking about, hey, we're going to do this in this match, because all you had to do is present the 7 or the 10 matches and say, hey, so these are going to have distractions and interference for you to go, maybe you don't do that. There's massive, massive communication issues there right now. And there's way too many people with WWE training, we'll say, WWE tendencies. And, I think the American Dragon is just as guilty as anybody else over there. Here's what I find funny. The Gauntlet ruled last night. The Gauntlet absolutely ruled.
That's one of my favorite television matches in years. Ever. To be honest with you, love that match so much.
Our boss, Joe Lanza, called it like the Royal Rumble with just the good surprises. And it kind of was. Like, I really, I'm like, this was a lot of fun. Because again, Hechicero and Mystico come out, Leo Rush. It was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then it's so funny to me that Sean Rossap asked the tweet, Tony Khan was directly responsible for the casino battle royal. And I'm like, oh, you think the guy who runs the company is the booker? Is in charge? And he like had this idea. Get out of here. Theory. I do have a theory on why that information came out, because all the information comes from Tony. I think that because there was such positive response to it, like they want people to know that. I think there's a war. War might be a harsh term. I think there's some infighting going on over what the direction is. And I think there are people that would rather it be more what was around Revolution and Dynasty than it is right now in Double Nothing, where it is way heavy in the WWE lane, excuse me. We need to tell these people, your Jimmy Jacobses, your Peppermans, to shut up.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. If I want to watch WWE, I'm going to fucking watch WWE. I don't want to watch WWE. I want the gauntlet, stuff like that every week. Just give me that.
Yeah. Just give me can you just be awesome? Like that, like all I want you to do is be awesome. I don't want you to have Jericho and Large Bill and what's the other guy's name? Brian Keith in front of a fake tree.
I like Brian Keith. That was terrible.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't want that, right? I don't want bad Mercedes Moné promos. Like, she only gets like two sentences, and that's all I want to hear out of her. But I want to watch her wrestle because she's awesome.
She's awesome.
Her and Willow tore it down, dude.
Dude, that was a great match. And someone said it took a little while to get going. I'm like, I disagreed. I enjoyed it from like the dawn. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand this need to like go, well, WWE does this, so we should do this. I mean, like, no, you should have a Bible written. This is what WWE does. Do the opposite every week. So let's talk about this real quick. I'm going to throw this at you. You're a child of the 80s. Do you remember New Coke?
Yes.
Is that before your time? So New Coke, for you young, you know, younger millennials and Gen Zers, in the 1980s, Coca-Cola, biggest soft drink company in the world, changed its formula because Pepsi was an upstart, and they started taking away some market share. Not a lot of market share, just enough market share to make Coke change their formula to something that tasted more like Pepsi. The fan base, the consumer base, freaked out. There were boycotts, and people made a big deal, and then they had a triumphant return of Coke Classic. Now, I've heard conspiracy theorists saying that was a big setup. They lost a lot of money, so I don't necessarily believe that. Here's the thing. Coca-Cola is the number one soft drink company in the world with Coke. Like, if you live in the South, you don't even call soda or pop, as we call it here in the Midwest. You call it all Coke. It's all Coke, and there's various stages of Coke, right? They just one thing, Coke, Diet Coke, boom. Pepsi is really good at being a challenger brand. Pepsi itself is never going to have Coke's numbers, right? But Pepsi does really well being Pepsi. They're very strong number two. Pepsi also offers Mountain Dew, something that the Coca-Cola company doesn't have an equivalent of. So then they're able to eat up market share based on the fact that, hey, we are Mountain Dew as well as Pepsi, right? So they're able to diversify their portfolio enough to be a strong challenger without having to chase Coke and do exactly what Coke does. Pepsi is strong enough to be Pepsi. Yeah. And to stay in their lane. And they have, like, Coke is never going to change their logo, right? They've had that logo since the 1920s, I want to say. Pepsi changed theirs a few years. Mm-hmm. That's what they do, right? They stay strong with Mountain Dew. They stay strong with Pepsi. Pepsi knows what it is. And it knows it's never going to beat Coke. Coke is a cultural thing, especially in the South. But Pepsi is very fine being Pepsi. Why AEW will not just be Pepsi, I'll never understand. Taco Bell's never going to be McDonald's. Taco Bell's very happy being Taco Bell. Why do we have to chase the market leader instead of just doing our own thing and establishing our own brand and our own fans that are different than those fans? This is the things that perplex me.
Yeah. JD, I think it's because Tony Khan really likes Coke.
That's the problem.
You fell right into it.
It took me a second. Like after I saw the look on your face, I went, let's go with Michael.
Tony Khan, don't sue me. That's a joke. Okay, don't sue me. I think when other people have made that joke, like people try to come after them for slander. I'm just making a joke, guys. Come on, tell a joke. Got some more AEW news, and then we'll get to the Sean Merriman interview. And I want to get to the chat, guys. I promise I'm getting to the chat tonight. MJF is back, man. I really like that. Joe and I actually, my cousin Joe and I, we actually recapped a Double or Nothing this past Monday on Memorial Day. So that was really cool. MJF is back. He wasn't on Dynamite this week, but he's going to be coming back up this coming up Wednesday on Dynamite, man. But I think MJF being back, if he is going to be serious MJF and he's going to be filled with hate, count me in. But if he goes back to silly stuff, count me all the way out.
Agree 100%. It sure seemed like that whole promo was, guys, I'm really sorry. Yes, I'm really sorry. I got carried away. I'll be a dickhead again because that's what you guys like. So if he is, I mean, like, his sensibilities will always skew to the sports entertainment. He's also responsible for some really good stuff. The feud with Cody was really good, even though it kind of just ended weirdly. The Punk feud was one of my favorite things in 2022, right? I adored that whole thing. So the man is capable of really great work. You know what they need over there? They just need an editor. They need a guy who can sit there and say, no. And who's not afraid to be an asshole.
Huh? John Muse.
I thought you said Tony Danza at first. That'd be an interesting call.
Yeah, no, they need the guy from Who's the Boss.
Who's the Boss?
Yeah, maybe they'll hire Alyssa Milano too. Yeah.
I'd be okay with that. They need a guy. I'm not gonna advocate for our friend, but I believe that. But they need a guy who's not afraid to be a dick and say, no, this is stupid, or no, this is too many interferences, or no, this is too much. It doesn't make sense, right? Yeah. They just need someone there who can tell people no. That was the best thing of Vince. I mean, like, we bury Vince up and down. Vince had no problem telling his talent no.
Yeah.
You need that.
Yeah. Well, leadership, and that's been the tough thing in this company. Like, people don't want to be the bad guy, but you need to be a leader at some point. And whether or not you delegate that authority to somebody else, but somebody's got to be leading the ship, right? And somebody that has to be thick-skinned, that can have tough conversations with people. And that seems to be the constant with this company, is that they don't want to have those tough conversations with people. They'd rather avoid it and hope it just goes away, which it typically doesn't. It just festers and then it explodes. Couple more AEW topics before we get to the chat. Ospreay versus Swerve at Forbidden Door. I was really caught off guard by that. I did not think that Ospreay was going to win. I assumed, this is just Mike. Mike was booking, and so sometimes when Mike's booking and they don't book what I book, I get upset about it. I can't get mad at a Swerve versus Ospreay match, though. Like, I don't see why I could get mad about that. That's going to be awesome. It's just not when I would have done it. I was just thinking, it's Forbidden Door. The Swerve was defending the title against somebody from either New Japan or CMLL. That's what I thought was going to happen. But instead, we're just going to go AEW versus AEW for the Forbidden Door show.
I think the problem is like, and we had this last year. Did anybody in their right mind think Sonata was going to lose to the Jungle Boy?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would rather have matches where there's a possible, because now if let's say it was her versus Mystico, that's a big match on paper. But is there any way Mystico is lying down for Swerve?
What's going on, guys? This is Rich, co-host of the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get right back to your show. Just want a brief moment to tell you about a sponsor that we have here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, Arena Club. Now, Arena Club, man, they're great for card collectors. If you're a card collector out there, this is the read for you. And in this hobby, I know you know, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up. We think, oh man, here's the 86 Michael Jordan Fleer rookie card. It's going to be in this pack. It never is. It's never in that pack. And usually you don't have zero. You have zero transparency on available cards and hit rates. It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. And when I buy Slab Packs from Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And I've talked about before, I go to card shows, I grab random packs, I have fun opening them, but I know there's nothing good ever in there. There never is. There's never going to. Why? That's why they're available to buy, because there's nothing good in there. That's not the case anymore with Arena Club Slab Packs. They're better than those mystery packs, because they have a display of available cards. They have a display of the hit rates. They have a display of the grading. You know exactly what you're getting. It's transparent. And Arena Club, more than that, they're an awesome place for collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. If you're a card collector, You get it all at Arena Club. Now, Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game, like we said, with full transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed into your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. And the Arena Club grading process is great. It's fast, it's accurate, it's transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. You're not putting this thing in an envelope, send it out to the mail, and then get back a number. Oh, it's a 6.2. Why? Whatever. Too bad. We just said it was 6.2. No, you get all of the rationale, all the explanation of how your card is scored and how it is graded. And man, Arena Club, whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. But there's even better news here, because right now you can get 10% off your first purchase at Arena Club by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Make sure you use that link to get the 10% off your first purchase. Again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That is a crazy offer. That is 10% off of your first purchase of anything. If it's a $400 slab pack, you're getting $40 off immediately just by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. arenaclub.com/VOWnet, 10% off your first purchase. And we appreciate them for sponsoring the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. Now, back to your show.
That one, I could see Mystico losing, but that one is a tough one because he really is the top star in CMLL.
Yeah, they want to let him happen. Like, no, I think that they need to. I think that booking, this is the biggest match AEW can for us right now.
Yeah.
Right. There's not a bigger match that they can give at the moment. So now you have this card with some stakes. Now people are excited. The fan base is excited because, like, you're either going to have Cement Swerve as the champ or you're going to go with the Osprey movement, right? Either way, there's going to be good stuff. So I think this is better than having a lame duck match, right? That we know there's not going to, that we know. Like, you put Shingo against Swerve, that would be really fun, but no one thinks Shingo's going to beat Swerve for the title. Osprey could win the belt.
Yes.
Or Swerve could just defeat Will Osprey. And there's no wrong decision here. I'm a big fan of all this, man. I really am.
This is the first match, like pay-per-view match, that I've seen in a while where I can't predict the outcome. Nope. Because honestly, ultimately they're gonna go with Osprey at some point. I don't know that they're ready to give up on Swerve as the champion. So then it's like, what do you do? And I think that's the interesting part. And you know, these two guys are just going to tear it down, right? Like,
yep,
they know each other. They want to have match of the night. But then that, you know, the trouble of Forbidden Door, like the idea behind Forbidden Door is crossover matchups. And this is just not a crossover matchup. So, but that's more of a nitpick. You know what I mean? It's not like an actual gripe. That's a nitpick is what I would say. You know, nitpicking it a little bit. Should they have saved it for All In? Unless Will Ospreay is winning the title, you don't put that on All In. You just don't, right? And so there's lots of ways they could do it. You know, we've heard people like, well, maybe they could just screw Will Ospreay. I'm like, well, I don't think you screw Will Ospreay because Swerve's a babyface unless you're turning him heel. Like, why would you screw Will Ospreay in the main event of a huge pay-per-view? I don't think you want to close the show like that unless Moxley's closing the show, which could happen.
I don't know if it's for sure. It could be they're doing the thing with Evil right now, whatever. I think I had the hunch it'll be Mox and Naito. No, I don't have any inside information. It just makes sense. So if you close the show with Mox and Naito, and Naito wins the belt back, I'm fine with that. Like, I mean, you can't go wrong either way. I don't know, man. I just think doing the crossovers sound cool, but it comes to the titles, like, you know, it's not gonna trade. You know, it's not gonna change hands. So I'm kind of like, I'd rather see a match with unpredictable outcomes. Yeah. As opposed to like a for sure thing, you know?
Well, if they're going to continue doing Forbidden Door, eventually they're going to have to, like, somebody from outside AEW is going to have to win that title at Forbidden Door. They just got to do it. And that would make it a much more appealing show because you're right. Ooh. The matches have been more predictable. Well, New Japan, honestly, is going to be sitting in the cuck chair for this Forbidden Door because I think CMLL has got a lot more momentum in the States than New Japan does right now. 100%. You know what I mean? So that's why I was like, you could throw Mystico in there and look, Mystico wins. You could flip it back to him. You could flip it back to him. That nobody gets hurt.
It's still Mexico where guys don't like to do jobs, though. Like, you know, he doesn't like to lose, you know, like, well, and Mystico's a tough guy to put that belt on.
You know, Mystico sounds perfect for AEW because Tony Khan loves guys that don't want to lose. That damn Malakai Black, his back issue is still going strong. He couldn't tap because there's something going on with his arm. He couldn't get pinned because there's something going on with his back. So he just fell asleep.
And like because Malakai Black will not do a freaking normal job, now Adam Copeland's leg is destroyed. Like, I'm convinced why that happened.
Yeah, that was my next story, man. Poor Adam Copeland on the run of his life, you know, close to 50. Having just awesome matches and great segments after great segments. Now, people can say whatever they want about that cage match that he had with Malakai Black. Personally, I liked it. Of the 90s, I kind of dug it. But I get why people wouldn't like it. Look, I also don't like bringing in tables and weapons inside of a cage match because I feel like you guys are already cheating a little bit with the barbed wire and the steel cage. Let the other guys have, like, that's a continuity issue, and I think they need to clean that up. But, like, if you just individualize that match, I thought that match was fun to watch.
I think when you have Malakai Black and Adam Copeland, this is what you're going to have. That's just what those two guys are. And if everything else was cleaner, if everything else was like Ospreay Roddy, I'd have been fine with this match being what it was. I'm not fine with, here's the thing with Adam Copeland. This is a dude that is injury prone. His entire career, he has had massive injuries, right? The man has had, he's had his neck repaired twice. He's had concussion issues. He tore his Achilles tendon. Like, he has been hurt a lot. He got hurt early in his WWE comeback. This is the second major injury of his comeback run, which is only like 4 years ago. So, I mean, like, this is leadership again. At some point, Pat Buck or whoever agent in that match has to go, you know, Adam, maybe jumping off the top of the cage and landing on your feet is a bad idea. Maybe just do a splash and we can say, oh, he dove under the barbed wire. He hurt himself to hurt Malakai. You know, the elbow, not a good move. It looked like shit. And
oh my God.
And now you have a broken leg.
Yeah. And now we need a new TNT champion, and King of the North, I think, has a good idea. Put the TNT belt on Mystico. You got to clear that through Court Bauer, who currently has his middleweight title on Mystico. But yeah,
that belt is done. There's not a ghost chance in hell Mystico is ever putting over someone from the MLW roster. Like, that'll get stripped or forgotten about, or it'll be like a Mexico. Like, Mexico titles don't matter. So, I mean, like, who cares?
No. Yeah. Before I get to the chat, just one last thing. I just want to cover Mark Henry, Arn Anderson, and Jake Hager have all now left AEW. They're kind of like, well, I think Mark Henry came a little bit later, but Anderson and Jake Hager, they're like, oh, geez, they were there almost not day one, but like pretty close, right?
I think Anderson came in like, I want to say 19. Right. Or like early 20, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
And Jake Hager was first Dynamite when he showed up. So neither of those three guys has done much. I know they tried to do stuff with Mark Henry. Like, it just didn't fit. Like, he wasn't a very good announcer. He wanted to do more like backstage type stuff. And I have no idea none of us know how that worked out. But it seems like he's not burying Tony on the way out. So I'm going to assume that it just wasn't a great fit after a while. And Arn, when Cody left, he had nothing to do. And quite frankly, when given opportunities to be Anderson, he just isn't Arn Anderson anymore.
Yeah. And like, I think Arn's going to go right back and do some stuff with Cody, but I don't think WWE is going to use him very often. I know Arn didn't really get along with Vince, and he seems like he seems like a Triple H guy to me. But he's a loyal soldier. I think he'll go back to WWE. Mark Henry's probably going to go get himself a Legends deal. And Jake Hager, look, you guys keep tweeting at me and you keep bullying me and harassing me and hazing me online. Jake Hager is not going to TNA. They've had an opportunity to have that guy, and they passed on him before, and he went to Lucha Underground. And then as he left Lucha Underground, he had the opportunity to pick him up before he went to AEW, and he went to AEW. He ain't coming. The guy offers nothing. He is an amazing, amazing wrestler. Not professional wrestler. I'm talking like actual wrestler. The guy is a stud. He's just not a star. He just isn't. He just never, he could never figure out how to put it all together.
Not very curious.
Honestly, the only thing I could think of that he could do is go back to NXT, kind of like what Sean Spears and Ethan Page just did. Well, I take it, but Ethan Page was never in NXT before, but like he just, like they need more veteran talent to work with their younger talent. I think Jake Hager mechanically is like good as far as like in-ring mechanics go. The guy just doesn't really come across as a star. So I think that he could go there and like work with some of those young talents, and he could probably put them through a hell of a workout and teach them some shooting stuff that he knows from his days in Oklahoma. Right. So I think he could do that stuff, but I just don't see him being like a TV wrestler and being successful.
Me neither. I mean, it's whatever. It's Jake Hager.
Yeah. But you know what? I just want to say, Tony Khan has heat with me forever for making QT Marshall the manager of Powerhouse Hobbs instead of Mark Henry. My idea was much better. I pitched the idea. Nobody listened to me. Mark Henry is a great promo. He was a great heel in WWE. His heavyweight championship run was awesome. And then his heel turn on John Cena is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in wrestling. I would have had Mark Henry out there side by side with Powerhouse Hobbs, kind of like, you know, Vader and Harley Race. That's kind of the way I saw it. I thought that would have been a great mix. So, you know, I think he goes back, does WWE legend stuff, but it would not shock me since TNA has already hired half the Busted Open crew to see Mark Henry show up in TNA at some point and do something. Like, I don't know what he would do, but like do a shot here and there. You know what I mean?
Sure. Why not?
All right, guys, let's go ahead and get to the chat. Thank you, chat, everybody, for being here. This is a big night for us. I'm getting ready to debut my interview.
I didn't do it.
My interview with NFL legend Sean Merriman. Vikings first in school. So this is actually Tyler from the Voices of Wrestling. So fun fact, my Secret Santa gift this year was that ECW match with Sean Merriman. I didn't know Sean Merriman had an ECW match.
I was out at that time. I had no idea.
I'm guessing it's WWECW, not the ECW from the 90s, considering Sean was a 2005 NFL draft pick.
Say the math doesn't work out on that.
Yeah. IO Productions says not a good day for Vince and Donald Trump. No, not looking good. Not looking good for either one of them. Maybe they'll share a jail cell. Who knows? Who knows how that's going to go? Nobody knows. King of the North. Actually, no, I'm not even going to say this one. This jerk tweet. No, enjoy Lexus, Brian Pillman Jr. at TNA.
Lexus King.
Yeah, Lexus King. Alter the Squirrel says TNA doesn't have a women's division. They have a Jordan Grace division. That's pretty damn true. That's actually true. Yeah. Okay. Lucha Doncic is booking in the NXT. Says Jordan takes the L at NXT. Then that'll give Roxanne a shot at the KO belt and Jordan will beat her there. They got Jordan fighting also some staring ass MF next week. Oh yeah. Yeah. She's beating up a jobber next week. You know what? I don't think it's that crazy to think that Jordan beats her Roxy beats her at Battleground and then she goes to TNA to challenge and then Jordan Grace gets her win back. I don't think that's too crazy. I don't see it happening, but that's not a crazy scenario to me.
See, Lucha thinks they're going to be fair to TNA. I don't know why he would assume that.
Yeah. Let's see. Dobby says Jordan is booked to get a win on Tuesday. Yeah, we already talked about that. It said NXT already though. So a TNA talent will be getting a win on WWE TV at least. Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, nobody would ever have thought that a couple years ago. I don't know what it does for everybody, but Transferring Heat says, Dave Meltzer, you're going to be seeing a lot of more moves between the two companies. So, yeah, Dave did say that. Said there. Alter the Squirrel says, there are rumors of more collaboration in the future, and I don't think the Florida tapings are a coincidence. So TNA is taping in Tampa coming up soon. That would check JD's consistency box. Guys, until I see it, I'm going to believe it's not going to happen. So that's kind of where I'm at. This is a good one. A King says prohibited portal WWE versus TNA versus Marigold. So I think the people that are talking about this NXT TNA thing are calling it the prohibited portal. I don't know how I feel about that one, but if it is a portal, I think Sami Callihan's too big to fit through it. So I don't know if he's going to go back to NXT or not, but you know, a lot like Sami Cholesterol, he is a guy, and Ace Austin and Chris Bay and several other TNA talents were on Twitter kind of publicly begging for a spot on NXT. And I was like, have some dignity, guys. And then the next day, Sean Ross Sapp puts out a story that Jordan Grace appears to be getting six figures for her three appearances with NXT. And I was like, you know what, guys? Tweet away. Get those spots. try to get yourself a spot on NXT. Go for it. Go do your thing, guys. I think you should. Baby Huey says, oh my God, LOL. I think that might be my cocaine joke.
I think so.
Then, yeah, King says, well done, Mike. All right. And then here's just one more. I'll get through one more. Swerve loses. I stopped watching for a while. I started watching again because of him. I think everybody loves Swerve to include Tony Khan. I don't think Swerve's dropping that title, but it is crazy that they're doing this match this way. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out.
That's what's cool about it.
John Muse. John, I'm going to give you credit for this now because this is absolutely going to be – I'm going to make a clip of the TNA thing, and this is going to be the title. Forbidden Doormat, TNA and WWE NXT Star Partnership. So that is the title of the video. So thank you, John Muse, for the title. That is what I'm going to be – when I do the clips for this weekend, that's going to be the title of the clip. But thank you, everybody, for being here in the chat. You guys stick around in the chat. I'm going to play the Sean Merriman interview. I'm going to pull myself off stage, but I'll stay right here with you guys and chat along with you. I hope you guys will stick around and watch my interview with NFL legend Sean Merriman. Hey, now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert. And I've definitely brought my A game, just like God Illa today. I got a very special guest. Former NFL linebacker. He is a two-time All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, a former number 12 overall draft pick by the San Diego Chargers in 2005. Mr. Sean Merriman is here. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing good. Hey, I really appreciate you being here, man. We kind of had some like a little back and forth on Twitter. Very friendly, nice exchange. I thought it was really cool that you had reached out, and we were talking about some TNA wrestling on Lights Out Sports, the new app that you got going on. So let's talk about that, man. So you got a free sports TV streaming service. You got a lot of stuff on there. You got TNA wrestling, of course, MMA, kickboxing, chess, poker. They're currently available on all major platforms like Apple TV, Amazon, and Roku. Tell me about this Lights Out Sports.
Yeah, man. So, you know, after I retired, I got straight into TV. I went to NFL Network a couple of years. I went to Fox Sports a couple of years after that, ESPN a couple of years, and back to Fox Sports. And then also, I was at the launch of WWE Network, you know, yeah. So I hosted the WrestleMania when it was in New Orleans, at Monday Night Raws, SmackDowns, and so I've done pay-per-views with WWE before, and I just had a kick-ass pay-per-view done with TNA Wrestling, like 2 months ago. So, you know, I've been around these spaces for a long time, man, understanding, like, how TV works, production works, and how this whole thing operates, so I wanted to create an all sports platform, like a locker room vibe of just all sports and make it free. Right. I thought that was very important to us, too, to have a free platform that you don't have to sign up or do anything like that. You just go download the app and then you start to dive into some of the content. But to me, I think the coolest part is like these channels, different variety. Like we got Outdoor America coming on with your fishing, hunting stuff. World Poker Tour has been big on there. Speed Vision is coming on, which is your top motor sports channel. So we're just constantly growing, man. And you can get us from every major TV platform, as some of the ones you said, Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, iOS, and Android. So yeah, definitely check us out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I downloaded on my Apple TV just yesterday after we had talked. And it's kind of like Pluto TV, but for like sports fans. So if you're like a hardcore sports fan and you like stuff like Pluto TV where they have all the 24-hour free streaming stuff like that, well, you can get all of that on Lights Out Sports. It's very easy to use. I have it on my Apple TV. It works great. No lag, no nothing like that. It's been a pretty cool product. I actually checked out some TNA wrestling stuff on there. It helps me out with my podcast. So let's talk about Lights Out MMA though, or Lights Out Extreme Fighting. So yeah. You started that back in 2019, and that is probably your premier product on Lights Out MMA. So how has that been going?
It's been crazy. You know, I got into MMA. I started training back in the mid-2000s with Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz, like all these guys. I was just around. Yeah. And I was doing it for my football workouts. I didn't even have any idea that I was just going to, you know, fall in love with the sport and be around it now for almost 17 years. I just got into it to help my hand-eye coordination to be a better football player. And I started training with these guys, grappling, I started getting into sparring during the off seasons. And so when I ended up launching Lights Out Extreme Fighting in 2019, I just knew that that's what I want to do. I was talking about, you know, being at Fox Sports, being at ESPN, being at, you know, WWE Network, like I understood how network TV goes and production goes. So knowing the sport of MMA and also the TV side, the production side of things, we started out and it was great. So now Lights Out Extreme Fighting is exclusively live on Lights Out Sports TV. And we got a crazy fight. We got a big fight coming up here in a couple weeks, June 15th. It'll be in San Diego. Start time is 7 p.m. Pacific. We got like 16 fights. And that's the cool thing about being, you know, kind of on our own, my own service and doing it how we're doing it, because we can, one of our last show was like almost 4.5 hours long.
Wow.
And so like we could just have as many fights as we want to. And it drove like a little under 20,000 people on the app around that time.
So, which is insane for like a brand new app. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It is.
That's awesome. And you guys are not beholden to like a network. So you guys can go short as you want, go as long as you want. It just depends on the card that you're able to put together, right?
Yeah. And so even now we can, you know, I always try to have less when we were on like Fubo and Bally's, Amazon Free. What I would do is I would have less amateur fights, because I know everybody don't want to always see the amateurs, even though I like to put the amateurs on.
Yeah.
Now this fight we got coming up, we got seven, eight amateur fights and like 7, 8 pro. And so for me, you know, like those amateurs are going to turn pro with us. And we have the next up and coming superstars. We got like 2 or 3 guys the UFC is looking at right now from our last fight. And we think could possibly end up at Dana's Contender Series or the UFC, who knows. But that's the thing, man. We wanted to be one of the most official feeders out there to the UFC. And like that is, for me, that's success. If we can successfully do that, man, that's really, really big for us.
Yeah, so you guys are not shying away from the fact that you're kind of like you would like to be a feeder organization for specifically the UFC, because obviously they're top of the food chain. You got PFL and Bellator and all those other companies out there that are, you know, doing pretty decent on their own networks. But you guys are not shying away from that. And you essentially, through the amateur system, have your own like farm system with your own promotion, right?
No doubt about it. And the cool thing is, you know, a lot of those guys are going to end up turning pro with us. So we get a chance to bring them along, you know, watch them progress, and we automatically know which guy is going to turn out to be superstars, at least from their personality and how they go in and compete. And so we love these guys get a shot at the UFC. And then the more guys we have to go to the UFC, the more official it makes us to know, because all these fighters are looking for fights, right? Yeah. They're looking to get on. We got plenty of TV. We still be on Fubo and Bally's and Amazon Freevee and BN Sports and Pluto. But it'll be on a 72-hour relay. So we'll still be on all the platforms, but we'll be exclusively live on Lights Out Sports TV. And I did that because of traffic, right? With, like all the content partners, World Poker Tour, and all these guys are reaping the benefits and bringing the added value to all the content partners on there.
That's awesome. And you guys have done a lot of cool things with Lights Out Extreme Fighting, especially like your different technologies. Can you talk about some of the innovative technologies that LXF uses, such as the shot tracker sensors and how they enhance the viewer and fighter experience?
Yeah, man, that was crazy. And so I'm like always thinking out of the box. I want to do the most outlandish, out the box stuff, even though it sounds impossible. I'm like, let's go try it. And so I started looking up a couple of years ago of a technology that has, you know, you can track velocity and G-force and all this stuff. And I partnered with Shot Tracker. Mm-hmm. Shot Tracker has that chip in the NBA basketball, MLB, I think PGA and some other places. And so now we were effectively able to have it in the glove. So pretty soon here, you'll be able to measure speed, power, punch, impact. You can see the velocity where guys are getting hit at landing. We have 5 motion caption cameras at the top of the cage where you can see what guys are getting hit at in the center of the cage or their backs against the cage. And so what I want to do is make this data instant. Like that's what we're working on. We're working on making the data instant, because how cool would it be if you're watching a fight and you know that punch traveled at, you know, 17 miles an hour and it landed smack dead in the G-force, you know, 22 plus. So like we're trying to get this data instant and just really change how people watch combat sports.
That's awesome. And you know what it kind of reminds me of what XFL did when they first came online, like back in 2001, they had so many different innovative ideas. And then when they go out of business, like the NFL just took them all. And then, you know, now the Rock's got I guess it's UFL now, but
yeah.
The Rocks, you know, they're doing the same thing. And the next thing you know, you start to see the NFL adopting a lot of the ideas that they had, but they originally had come from the UFL, XFL. I think we're going to see this stuff, you know, penetrate not only the UFC, but other combat sports as well, like, you know, boxing and Glory, kickboxing Glory, which you can obviously get on Lights Out TV. So I think that's really cool. And if you guys are ever going to carve a niche out for yourself and get a foothold in the marketplace, being outside the box thinkers is the way to go.
No, no doubt about that. And that's the thing with us, right? The fights are the fights. As long as they are well matched and these guys are going to get after each other. But how can we, the people that's watching us is not there, how can they feel like they're there? That was my whole thing. How much fan engagement could we add to make the fans and people that's watching our fights feel like they're there? And yeah. I'll tell you right now, man, like, you know, if I'm a fan, let's say I'm still a fan of the sport, but if I'm sitting at home watching and I'm measuring that punch and it was over a certain number, and then that guy stayed up because he got punched in the chin and he didn't go down, you're like, oh God, that guy got a chin. So you start to throw in all this data and it makes it exciting, man. It makes it fun. And I've always been about fan engagement, even back in my playing days, man. Like the fans really, you know, in a sense, they really run this thing.
Yeah, and fan engagement has been a huge part of what you guys have been doing over at LXF. You know, what steps are you taking to connect with fans through your audience? And with that, or is there anything additional that you guys are doing?
Yeah, so with Lifestyle Extreme Fighting, I'm looking at partnering with a company called like Genius, so we can start to massage a lot of this data. And like build algorithms so we can start, you know, giving pre-betting, right? Oh, by the way, I just partnered with IC360, which is number one in compliance and sports betting. So we just started the process to, you know, for compliance for sports betting for Lights Out Extreme Fighting. So for us, that's huge, right? Because at some point in time, you're going to be able to wager and bet on the fights through Lights Out Sports right there while you're watching the fights. And so that's what I want to do, man. I'm not trying to compete with anybody. I want to be the number one aggregator to everybody. You know, TNA, like TNA Wrestling, man, they're great to work with. We shocked the hell out of everybody when, you know, I kind of flipped the script my boy AJ.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, and I'm going to work with them more down the road. I'll probably, you know, maybe someday work back with the WWE, and be a part of what they're building. And, you know, I've been around the wrestling community and business, man, for, you know, since I did my first, I think it was One Night Stand or something, a pay-per-view, like back in 2008 or 2009 or something like I've been around. And so, understanding the wrestling business and how entertainment and that part of it works, and then kind of just using my knowledge of being around Vince McMahon, being around Paul, being around those guys, being, you know, working out down there at the Performance Institute with the WWE, which is incredible, man. You know, having Billy Gunn as my in-ring coach, right? Dusty Rhodes as my promo coach. And you know, get a chance to work with those guys and been around for as long as I have, man. It's been really cool.
So, you know, you talk about your experience over the Performance Center. There for a while, I think a lot of us who were following, because obviously I'm a big football fan, and I got some football questions to throw at you a little bit later. But when we heard that you were coming over to the Performance Center, you had done WrestleMania, you're part of the WWE Network, I guess we all assumed that it would be the natural progression for you to get in the ring with the WWE, but it just never happened. What happened with that?
I think, I think WWE Network, when they launched, they had a little bit of issue with subscriptions and stuff. It was one point, I think they let go like 10 or 11% of the entire company over at WWE. So that was one part of it. The other part is that, you know, I've been on the name and likeness of Lights Out since I was, you know, 21, 22 years old. And having to build that brand and build that name, I was a little bit different coming in than a lot of guys that kind of are coming in and making a name or character for themselves.
Yeah.
And so that was another hiccup that was like, you know, hey guys, I've been building this, you know, I don't need you guys to build it now, even though that the ecosystem of WWE is nobody bigger. And I'm sure they could have amplified what I was doing, but I was very, very protective over the lights out trademark and name and how that was used, where that was going, who owned it, right? You just saw the, I think it was a few months ago, The Rock kind of got his name back and somebody else. So there was a lot of part of that. But dude, I seen Paul, Triple H, I seen Paul at the ESPYs a couple years back. And I just walked up and I just grabbed him, man. I love that dude. And I still have great relationships with everybody at WWE. So I think that just that part of it alone has been really, really cool. And that's why the door is never shut. You know, it was never any bad blood. Just a lot of turnover and places that they were going.
Well, and at the time, under the regime that they had at the time, well, you know, obviously Vince McMahon was in charge at the time. They wanted to own everybody's name, image, and likeness. And like they would actually bring in, you know, like big name wrestlers from other companies, sign them, and then change their name completely and give them some wild names. And in fact, they actually had a former NFL player. I don't know if you're familiar with them. I'm sure you are. Monty Brown, who had a really good career in TNA. They brought him over to the WWE and called him Marcus Corvon, former NFL player. But then if you go to look up Marcus Corvon, it doesn't exist in the NFL, but it's because his name was Monty Brown. So that was a big issue. I'm glad you stood your ground because I think, you know, Lights Out is such a cool name. In fact, I think didn't Moose change the name of his finishing move to the Lights Out, his spear, I think at one time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So he changed his name. I think that's such a cool nickname, Lights Out Sean Merriman. Like you know, one of the great NFL nicknames of all time. It's like right up there with, you know, Mean Joe Green and Debo Samuel. But so you brought it up. You had done some stuff with TNA. In fact, I was watching on pay-per-view because I was going live on the podcast right after TNA Rebellion. There you are in the front row. And I didn't have the awareness that you were teammates with AJ Francis at Maryland, right?
Well, we just missed each other. I'm a little older than him.
Oh, okay.
I'm still sitting on the board and I'm still back in the school. So we all knew each other. Same thing with Dean, with Mojo, all of us, you know, who went to Maryland and played and had that relationship there.
Okay, yeah. So if somebody's from Maryland, like that's just like kind of part of your group of guys, like you guys kind of just stick together no matter if you miss each other or not. So there you are in the audience, and I think Rich Swann's facing Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry is probably the top babyface in the company right now. And AJ Francis, I don't know if he's the top heel or not, but he's definitely the most hated. And if you would have knocked out AJ Francis, you probably could have made a lot of money as a babyface there. But no, you had to go and attack Joe. How did all that come about?
We actually been talking about it for a while. And so we were promoting the launch of them being on Lights Out Sports TV. And so we thought, you got me?
Oh, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, sorry. We left off where you're talking about like how it all came about with you and TNA at Rebellion.
Yeah, so TNA Wrestling, they got a channel on Lights Out Sports TV. We were thinking of some cool ways to promote it and get it out there and do a launch. But you know, I still talk to a lot of people in the wrestling community in general. And so when that opportunity with TNA came up, I was like, yeah. You kidding me? Like, you know, I've already, I've trained with some of the best in the world and been around. And, but it was my first time being back in doing in-ring stuff in about almost 7 years.
Yeah.
And so I just, it was a cool moment. And to get the reaction that we did out the crowd, that to me is always the best to shock the hell out of people. And I didn't, you know, me and AJ kind of went in and you had no idea. And then just to, you know, flip on Hendry like that was great.
Yeah, yeah. You guys definitely caught me off guard. I didn't, like, I'm usually pretty good at, like, predicting about what's about to happen because I've been watching a long time. But that threw me off. I guess I should have known once, you know, Tom kind of connected the fact that you guys are both Maryland guys. Like, oh, wait, he's not gonna come to beat up AJ Francis. So I guess the question is, I got a lot of viewers that are big TNA fans. You know, you said you might be working with them again in the future. Could we be seeing you in the ring? I think that's where people want to see you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, I got a great relationship with those guys over at Anthem. I think they do a great job. And, you know, I just saw the news of some kind of, I don't know what it entails, but a partnership with WWE might be brewing.
Yeah.
At some point.
Jordan Grace is wrestling in NXT coming up. They're doing a crossover match.
And that's brilliant. That's brilliant, man, because TNA is great and NXT is great. And that's, you know, that's where I was going to head when I went to the WWE. It start out for a while in NXT and then obviously get up on the main circuit. But I mean, you talk about having a passion for something. I love it. You know, I love the business. I love being around, you know, wrestling. I always have. And obviously you got to start out being a fan somewhere, which I was the biggest fan ever. But, you know, just having the opportunity to work with those guys have been great.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously right now, like in TNA lore, you're currently a villain, but I think the ultimate money is Sean Merriman versus Moose. You know, Moose took the name for his finisher. He was an offensive tackle. He blocked for Michael Vick and Tom Brady. You're one of the premier pass rushers of all time. NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. You led the league in sacks in 2006. I mean, I think that only makes sense. Like, that's the money, right?
I like it. I mean, you know, I think that people would love to see it. I know we would put on a hell of a show. And, you know, who knows, man? I mean, some wilder things happened before. And I wouldn't count it out. I wouldn't count it out that I'd be doing something with them very soon.
A couple more questions and I'll go ahead and let you go. I know you're a busy guy with all the, man, you got like so many different jobs. It's insane. I don't know how you got time to do all these things and then plus be able to come on my podcast. So I greatly appreciate it. You know, what is one lesson that you learned in your playing career that you've been able to adapt to your career as an entrepreneur on the outside?
You know, I was so relentless as a player, you know, just the way I approach and how I played the game and my mindset that, and that's kind of rolled over to everything I got going. I'm relentless, man. Like, you know, people sometimes think that, you know, when I got all this stuff going, I just walk into meeting rooms and everybody like, oh yeah, Sean Raymond. Yes. Let's work with him or let's do this deal partnership. And sometimes it's no, it's me knocking down the doors consistently and being as relentless as I was on the field to what I'm doing. And I prepare like hell, man, like in everything. It's like me watching film. I used to watch film of those offensive tackles, those formations and what they run in so I can get a better key off the snap, a better pass rush and time to snap and jump off the line of scrimmage. I prepare for everything. You know, when we knew that that I was going to be working with TNA at some capacity and WWE, like I'll train. You know, mm-hmm. I went down there to the Performance Institute. I'll train it in Vegas and I'll find, you know, a coach and I'll train for a few weeks or whatever it takes in order for me to get prepared and get ready. And so I think that, you know, the preparation part of it, the mindset from football has kind of spilled right over into everything I'm doing. And that's why I was able to jump into the streaming business and have this amount of success this early, because I was preparing to see what's in the market, seeing what people wanted. And I feel like there's some of these niche sports was under, you know, how do you call it? Just underappreciated in a way, mm-hmm. because sometimes you got these big streaming services, which is great. I'm still a subscriber to all of them, but you got some niche sports that's just not getting the love that they should. And people love it, but they're not going to look through over 300, 400 channels looking for that one sport. And so I wanted to create something that's in one place. And that just went into the preparations of, you know, of getting there.
That's awesome. You know, I'm in the Air Force. I'm a master sergeant. And one of the things I always tell my airmen is like, I don't need you to be the smartest person in the room ever, but I do need you to be the most prepared, right? You got to prepare your mind. You got to prepare your body. You know, if I'm going to send you to war, I need you to be physically fit. You know, you got to stay prepared and stay ready at all times. So I love that mindset. I got a couple football questions for you. Cause I never get to speak to an all pro NFL. Yes. An all pro NFL, a linebacker and former member of the, I still call them the San Diego Chargers. I'm having trouble like transitioning to Los Angeles, but they're a former Charger. And as a 49er fan, I gotta say, I am pretty excited for you guys. And I'm actually a little bit nervous to have Jim Harbaugh be the coach of the Chargers. What do you think about that acquisition and what do you see for them coming up in the future? And you predict success this season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, it's crazy. I was texting Coach Harbaugh probably last week. We were texting each other back and forth and talking to him and seeing how he operates. I fully understand why he comes in and has success either with whatever organization or program he's with, because he comes in and starts to do things from day one. He's not talking Super Bowl. He's not talking playoffs. He's talking, let's get in the gym, let's get these workouts, and let's go and make it happen today. And when you do that over and over again, and you're so locked into that to winning that day, it automatically changes the mindset of everybody around you. And it starts at the top. That's, you know, the Chargers, they got talent. I mean, you can't deny Justin Herbert's talent. You can't deny a Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, Derwin James, Rashawn Slater. You can't deny those guys. But when you don't have the right leadership, it trickles down in a bad way as well. So you got somebody like Jim Harbaugh that's coming in, that's getting these guys to work. His first day, like talking about the gym, he had a strength conditioning coach in the press conference. Like we've never seen that before. But that's the mindset. So we don't know how well they're going to do. We know they're going to be a better team, but I think they could be the best team coming out of that division this year. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to, you know, go against too much of the Super Bowl champs, but the Chargers have the talent to do it. It's if they go out and take it or not.
Yeah. You know, he turned around the program in San Francisco on year one. And he did that. Like, Alex Smith was struggling for a long time. And then Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman come in and they completely just turned it around. And Vic Fangio took over the 49ers defense. He's one of the great, you know, defensive coordinators of all time, I think. And he turned that system around in year one, and he did it with a great pass rush and some pretty badass linebackers and Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. And you got part of the nucleus there. I think, unfortunately, you guys took a hit at the wide receiver position this year, you know, through free agency, but you could probably rebuild some of that. I really do think that the Chargers are probably going to have a pretty good year this year.
No, I do too. And it's funny you brought up Navarro Bowman. Navarro Bowman. He's a linebacker coach for the Chargers.
Yep. Yeah.
And he's from my area. He grew up in DC, in the DC area, Washington DC area. So you know, that's a little bro, and I'm so happy for him, man. And he should be in the Hall of Fame too at some point. I mean, I don't 100%. Know if he'll be, you know, when he'll get in or when he'll be up for it, but he should be, because I'm not saying that he was Patrick Willis, but he was up there. So you know, with that being said, man, you're right. I think that, you know, they're going to come in and really, really make a lot of noise. And then, too, you know, what I was texting Jim Harbaugh about is, like, you know, I really appreciated him and thanked him for, you know, establishing identity again, like, on who this team was. And I go to every home game, so I see it. And sometimes I'm looking at the games and I said, what the hell are these guys doing? Who are they? You know, they don't know what they're doing on third down. And, you know, they can't get lined up and they're getting ran on and getting pushed around. Like, these guys have no identity. So, you know, one thing they're going to have with Jim Harbaugh the first day, they're going to have identity.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a tough, gritty coach. And I'm super, super happy for the Chargers and all the Chargers fans there. So, you know, you got your nickname by knocking dudes out on the field, which I don't think you can do anymore. He probably would have kicked you out. But you earned that nickname in high school. So I guess my question is who was your favorite quarterback to sack when you were playing?
Tom. I mean,
of course, right?
Yeah, it was Tom. Because you know what? You don't get to him too often because he gets rid of the ball. And you know, a lot of his stuff is timing, and he's smart about the football. So when you get him, you're happy about it. But I got him, you know, I got him at key points during the games. I got him a couple times in the AFC Championship game. I got him like on the first play, you know, coming out the gate. And we got them in the second round of the playoffs. And these are key times when you got to hit the best player, best quarterback to ever play. You got to hit him at those times. But you know, the second is Peyton. Probably I love getting after Peyton. Third is Ben Roethlisberger. And probably, yeah. So those three, man, is in those order. How I just love to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Three Hall of Famers. It's always more sweet when you get to take down one of the best. And Tom's obviously the best to ever do it. And I think Peyton Manning's clearly right behind him. And so, and those old Chargers Patriots rivalries were pretty insane. At one point, I think when the Patriots played you guys, didn't some of their players like do the lights out thing after the game? And I know LaDainian Tomlinson went after them. It was a whole thing with those guys.
Some, that whole damn team. I think Bill Belichick was the only one and Tom wasn't the only two that wasn't doing the lights out dance. Yeah. But you know, I was pissed off then when it happened. I didn't know it happened. I didn't find out everything that happened until I watched the local news after the game, because my head was down. I didn't know. I just looked up and I saw LT and Phillip Rivers in the middle of the field about to get in the fight. That's when I ended up running over there. But I had no idea they were all doing the lights out dance at the time until I watched the local news that night when I got home. So then I figured out why LT and Phil was at it the way they were. So, that was a crazy, crazy time, man, to have, you know, a whole damn team, you know, kind of – mocking the dance and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, it says a lot about you and the, what you meant to your team to have, you know, in my opinion, probably, I mean, this might just be me reading it, but what I was watching on television, like LT was probably your team captain, maybe, or at least one of them, like the leaders of your team, to have him have your back like that is pretty tremendous. So is that why you ended up signing with the Bills? Is because you're like, you know, I want to smash that dude a couple more times before it's all said and done.
You know, what's funny is I never beat him when I was on the Chargers. We ended up beating him when I was with the Bills. And that really pissed me off because it's not, you know, I love my Bills to death. But we have much better teams in San Diego. But I think the matchup problems and the rivalry being in the division, and we got, I think Tom threw 3 or 4 picks that day. But we was getting after him so bad. And I think the best part about that is it was after the game. You'd have thought we won a damn Super Bowl. Like I didn't know they hated the Patriots that bad out there until we beat them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a big deal. And again, I gotta go back to TNA wrestling. I think that's why you gotta go kick Moose's ass. You know, he used to play for the Patriots. He was the right tackle for them, blocking for Tom Brady. He's part of that Dynasty documentary that came out. I mean, I think that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, I'll go kick his ass. Let me know. I'm down.
All right, Tommy Dreamer, Gail Kim, you heard it here first. Sean Merriman wants to go kick Moose's ass and win the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Let's try to get that rumor started. Maybe something will come of it.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go ahead and one more time. Let's talk about Lights Out TV and let's plug your upcoming your Lights Out MMA event that's coming up.
Yeah, Lights Out Sports TV. You can, if you got Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Apple, Android, you can get us all on any major CTV platform. We got great, great content there with World Poker Tour, Glory Kickboxing, fishing, outdoor hunting stuff is coming. Chess TV, which I'm a fan of now, had no idea. Swerve Combat, they got 15 different leagues and promotions on there. And then we got a huge fight June 15th, Saturday, June 15th, live at 7 p.m. Pacific on Lights Out Sports TV that you can get anywhere. And you want to get this one, man. We got 16, almost 16 fights in the night. It's going to be a long one. And then these are the next up-and-coming superstars of the sports. You want to make sure you catch this one.
Absolutely. Lights Out Sports and Lights Out Extreme Fighting. Thank you very much to Sean Merriman. I really appreciate you being here. You're very gracious with your time. Going to go ahead and let you get back to your many, many hats. Thank you again very much.
You got it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. Take care. Bye. Oh, I'm back, everybody. that was my interview with Sean Merriman, man. That was really cool. I thought he opened up a lot. He was very gracious with his time. He gave me like 30 minutes, which I did not think that I was going to get. But there was like no parameters on that interview. He was just like, ask away, ask whatever you want. As long as I get, gave him the opportunity to plug his stuff. So again, everybody go follow Sean Merriman on X or Instagram or whatever. And check out Lights Out TV. That is going to do it for us this week. I want to make sure I plug the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJD Show. And if you're watching this on YouTube, regardless of the stream that you're watching, please give us a big thumbs up and add a comment and make sure you're a subscriber to this channel. And also, if you're listening to this on the free feed, Voices of Wrestling free feed or the Mike and JD Show free feed, make sure you give us a 5-star review and let everybody know that you like the show. I would greatly appreciate it. All right, guys, that is going to do it for me this week. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.